Good evening. How's everybody doing? Probably better than I am. But I want to say first that I appreciate the church's support. I don't know if how many of you know how the church supports the college students, but I appreciate it. It is very helpful. There's two books in the New Testament that one of them I've never heard a sermon from. The other one I've heard one sermon from, and that's just because my professor suggested it, that you guys should listen to that sermon. It's a masterpiece. But I've never heard a sermon on that book before. And so it got me to thinking, you know, how cool it would be if I, you know, if I could pull something out of that book. It'd be kind of neat. Okay. But what two books do you think I'm talking about? No? You already told you what book I was pulling from, didn't I? Yes, that's right, Philemon. The other one was Titus. I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon from Titus, but Philemon, one of the shortest books in the Bible. But what do we know from the story? It doesn't tell much of a story, just a letter Paul wrote to Philemon. It doesn't give every answer, every detail of the story. But Philemon, we do know a little bit about Philemon. We assume he became a Christian during Paul's ministry at Ephesus. So we don't really know when, because Paul was at Ephesus for quite some time. But we do know that back in Colossae, where Philemon lived, there was a church in his house. Church, you know, house churches were not uncommon back then. And I'd like to think that, we don't know, but Philemon may have started that church in his own house. But we know he had at least one slave, Onesimus, that ran away and also took some possessions from him, which caused Onesimus to have a death sentence on his head. And so that's where most, at least the sermon I heard from Philemon goes. The forgiveness that Philemon had towards Onesimus in the parallel, you know, with God's forgiveness for us. But I want to focus on Philemon and who he was. So if you would want to, if you have your Bibles, open your Bible to Philemon, the first chapter and only chapter. And I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that is in thine house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So what do you think Paul thought of Philemon? Philemon had a church in his own house, so hopefully he was a faithful churchgoer. But if he started that church, he won some points from me right there, just because apparently Colossae needed a church, and so he started a church. But anyway, if he didn't, it doesn't really matter. But Paul thought very much of Philemon. He heard by some source, probably just, you know, through the grapevine or by Timothy or something, that Philemon was staying faithful to the faith and faithful to the work. He found out that Philemon was a blessing to the people of the church. Philemon was this young believer that was being a faithful layman in the church. Apparently, he got a true experience of God's grace and was sharing it. And I also wonder, from the story of Philemon, why do some people not get much recognition for their faith? Seems like it a lot of times, there's just everybody in the Bible at least, that they've done one or just a few really notable things in their faith. And they all get remembered down through time for it. But what about those faithful ones that do an important job of being faithful and doing whatever needs done? I believe Philemon is one of those people. We hear of David and Abraham, their great faith and great works. And people like Rahab, who did one great act of faith, and she was remembered for that one act, even though she wasn't a very good woman before. And Ruth, who for her one declaration of faith, your God, my God, and all that. And her story has been remembered down through time. What about somebody, I thought of Barnabas. Some say Barnabas was the rich young ruler. Some scholars believe that he was the rich young ruler that came to Jesus asking for eternal life, and he couldn't get it because Jesus said, I'm going to sell all your possessions. Then, if it is Barnabas, we know that Barnabas gave a lot to the church and was a faithful laborer. But he's not remembered or recognized as much as some of these others. But back to Philemon. From the text, we get just a glimpse of who he was. But I like to imagine. Maybe I'll exaggerate a little bit, which may not be the best thing to do in a message like this. But I want to imagine Philemon being that person in the church that was always doing something. Talk to most pastors. I think they'll tell you they have at least one person that's always doing something. He was always sharing his faith, always talking about it. He was constantly showing love to the saints and just spreading all around joy and comfort and encouragement to others. And that's pretty much directly from the verses I read. But also, I like to think, in our day, he might have been the one always cleaning the church. They don't get much recognition, but people appreciate it. At least I hope they do. He was the one visiting the elderly and the sick and the shut-ins, which is an important job, but you might not get credit for it. He was putting passing missionaries up in his house. He might be preparing food for the evangelist for revival. He was always having the young people to his house for fellowship, organizing ministry for the community, faithful to fulfill his Wednesday night service, and his monthly nursing home service that he was asked to perform. He was always at VBS and make sure any visitors felt welcome. Pastor sometimes has a person in his church that he knows he can count on. I see Philemon being that guy. He was a blessing. Paul could call on him to do something because that's what he did in this letter. He knew that Philemon would do what he asked and more. Now I'm sure Philemon wasn't that perfect. But I know he's a faithful laborer because Paul said so. So keep that rather imaginative example in your mind. And as another year comes to a close and we all look back and look forward, what do we see? I asked the question about myself. Was I faithful this past year? Was I obedient? Was I willing enough to let God call me to do something? Sometimes people are called upon to give a report of something, a treasurer's report. In a business, you might be called upon to give a weekly, monthly, or yearly report of the dealings that you've done in the business over that period of time. But I'm asking, what does my spiritual year-end report look like? Kind of going along with what Dad was talking about this morning. But after that question is considered, and perhaps we get a little ashamed of the past year, I look to 2018 and three questions arise in my mind. Number one, can God count on me? Paul could count on Philemon. He asked a favor with great confidence. The Arabian horses that are trained in the desert, they're very dependable horses, but one of the last training sessions they go through is they're deprived of water for a lengthy period of time. And so when they're beyond thirsty, they're let go in a pasture where there's water, and immediately, naturally, they go to the water But as soon as they get there and about to drop their heads down, the trainer, the master, makes some kind of a signal, calls for them, whistles. And the horses, if they are trained well, they will turn on their heels and trot back to the master and wait for the next command. How many times do we go for what we need? It is so obvious, and it's right there in front of us. And we say, we need it. What else could God want me to do? And perhaps that is what is right. Because obviously the horses needed water, obviously. But am I close enough to God and obedient enough to not always follow my own thoughts or will? And am I willing for God to test me to get me to where He wants me to be? Am I willing for God to deny me what I think is best? Will God keep speaking if we ignore Him? Second question, but when God speaks, will I obey? There was a boy once playing under a tree. His father stepped out of the house and noticed right above the boy's head in the tree was a poisonous snake. The boy didn't know of his danger. That's so often our case. We don't know what's all going on around us. The father stepped out of the house calmly, but with an urgency in his voice. He commanded the boy to get on his knees and crawl to him. The boy immediately did so. When God speaks, will I be obedient and faithful and trust in Him? That boy and we often pause to question, because we don't understand why God is doing this or asking us of this. It might not make sense. We could seriously pause to ask God, why? It doesn't make any sense. It's not going to benefit me anything. I mean, I'm here doing my own thing, minding my own business sometimes. We do not see everything, so we do not understand why. You may not understand your current position or circumstances, but question number three, will you remain faithful? A story of a young man who had settled in his heart to go to a distant land to preach the gospel. However, God had other plans, and the young man died of a serious illness. If we stop right there, we don't understand the story. God called this young man to do something, to go preach the gospel and bring people to Jesus. So we wonder why. We wonder why God had this happen. But that young man did not die in vain. Because at his funeral, the graveside, three other young men took on his calling. And not only went to the place that he was called to, but to different directions of the globe. God had something greater in mind. And often, we look to other people to do the work. Someone else is more able to do it. God is calling other people. Why do I need to do it? But when others don't, perhaps Philemon was waiting for a church to start, or waiting for someone else to be a blessing to the fellow saints. Could we consider maybe God is asking us to do something? Now, I'm not accusing of anyone tonight. I'm not saying that our spiritual year-end report is a failure or up for rejection. I'm sure you have a wonderful report. Like I heard somebody walk out the door and tell my dad this morning, I read the Bible through once. And so obviously that report wasn't a failure. So I know I'm preaching to the choir, as Daddy often says. But this can still be a reminder. Whatever the reason for this message was, maybe it went along with the message this morning because God has a message for us to consider for ourselves. I know my year-end report is not something to be proud of. But will we take our year report and consider improvement if needed? In my opinion, we don't need New Year's resolutions, as people call them, in this area. You know, you can make them. Do whatever you want, like James and Earl accomplished their 1,000 miles. Is that what it was, 1,000 miles? Whew. They accomplished that in New Year's resolution. But I believe if we need anything, we need God to change our heart and mold us into willing vessels worthy of His service. Think of Philemon and the example he is and the confidence Paul had in him. And will God, does God have the confidence in us? Is he still speaking to us? I know he is. Are we hearing him? Philemon was an example of service. Like the chorus says, make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant today and every day. How was your year-end report? Were you faithful yesterday? Will you be faithful today and tomorrow? Thank you.